You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Surprise and even shock. That was the response of those who conducted the survey. Students and faculty of a major well-known state university spoke to 2,000 people at shopping malls, street fairs, and other public gatherings. 42% imagine. Nearly one half of those spoken to admitted they had considered suicide at some time in their life. Now, were these people psychologically ill? For the most part, no. They were physically and mentally well, but the pressures of family problems, of uncertain finances, and unstable unemployment, these frustrations crushed down upon them. They felt that they could no longer cope. And perhaps maybe you are one of those who has also considered ending it all by destroying your own life. There are many, many others who feel just like you do. Dr. Kirk Strosahl, a clinical psychologist, states that there is no greater pain in life than to think that painful emotions will never end. Oh yes, when we feel down and blue, it does help to know that there are also others around us who are frustrated with life and burdened with problems. It does help to know that one is not alone with feelings of discouragement and despair. However, an even greater source of hope is this. A great source of hope is to hear firsthand about some of the great heroes of faith described in the Holy Scriptures. These individuals faced challenges every day. Often their problems were much greater than ours, and yet in their darkest hours they were strengthened. Even in times of despair, they were able to keep not only their own heads up, but they encouraged others around them to do the same. Now imagine being on a sinking ship with death staring you in the face. This was St. Paul's situation in our text for today. And nevertheless, he turned to those around him who were in deep despair and said, "Keep up your courage." We can learn much and be encouraged greatly by these Bible stories of man's faith in God's grace. Several years ago, a 10-year-old boy went to see the President of the United States. The boy explained that he gave the president a Bible for times, and I quote, "when he is in trouble and when he is sad." This young child knew that the stories and promises of the Bible are powerful enough to encourage presidents, to strengthen kings, and to uplift other great leaders. Let's look then, shall we, at one of the most dramatic examples of life described in the Bible. Because, you see, God is offering you at this hour, this example for your hope and your help. There was a terrible storm at sea, the Bible states, and the passengers in the ship were about to lose their lives. The ship was sinking. For the crew, the Bible notes, all hope for being saved was gradually abandoned. It was their most desperate hour. And if you have been feeling down these last few days, then you can identify completely with these helpless individuals. Now, when all seemed lost, one of the passengers on the ship, one of the prisoners aboard, his name was St. Paul, that great missionary, he said to the crew and nearly 300 other passengers, "Keep up your courage." Now, you may not be on a stormy sea at this hour, but you may be involved in a turbulent marriage. And perhaps your ship or your marriage is not doing all that well. The relationship that you have with your spouse may be best described as stormy. And like the crew members described in the Bible, at this point, you may have abandoned all hope. You may even feel like destroying yourself. You feel so helpless and so hopeless. Keep up your courage. The Lord is graciously counseling you through His Word. The riches of your Heavenly Father's grace can break down barriers in even the worst marriage. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our life. It takes away all our sins and failures of the past. The blessed Redeemer's resurrection power offers you a new start. It offers you a new beginning in your marriage. The clarion call of divine hope from the Bible, "Keep up your courage," offers you at this hour a glorious hope for a new beginning and the Christ-centered confidence to succeed. Now, salvaging a marriage is not an act of magic. In order for healing to take place, both parties must admit their part in the failure. They must be willing to see, on the basis of the Bible, that marriage is a sacred institution established by God, and that the Heavenly Father has made one thing quite clear, and that is this. God does not want His sacred institution of marriage to be broken. Both parties in a floundering marriage, if it is to be saved, must personally desire to leave the ugly jungle of marital fights and arguments. They must be willing to abandon all suspicions. Quarreling spouses, sincerely desiring to salvage their marriage, must be honestly willing to bury the mistakes and the grudges of the past. They must possess a sincere and repentant desire to seek a harmonious home and a marriage relationship which includes mutual love, mutual support, and mutual forgiveness. Like all problems with personal relationships, marriage difficulties are a result of our sin. And as we seek help in the Lord, let us also first remember, we must recognize and confess our sins. In His grace, God demands an attitude of repentance, a broken spirit, and a contrite heart. And as we pour out to God our failures, our stubbornness, and our lovelessness, let us do it with a firm grip of faith and of hope provided by the promise of God in 1 John chapter 1, I quote, "If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." However, the Bible says, "If we confess our sins, then God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, of course, we all know that it's easier to talk about repentance than to live the God-pleasing life of Christ-centered repentance. I know this, and St. Paul also knew this. St. Paul confessed his feeling of helplessness of his own flesh when he said, "I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing to do good is present in me, but then," he said, "the doing of the good is not." Surprise, isn't it, that even St. Paul should feel the way that you do at certain times in your life? Oh, yes, you can identify with the frustration of that great missionary, can't you? But don't stop there. Identify with this great hero of faith all the way. And then with the boldness of God's Spirit and the confidence of Christ, exclaim also with St. Paul that victory cry in life, "Thanks be to God who gives us our victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, St. Paul's confidence was based in the Spirit of Christ which enabled him to repent. St. Paul's courage was based upon the blood of Christ which gave him the assurance of complete forgiveness and a new start. St. Paul's confidence was based upon the resurrection of Christ, which gave him the power over temptation and the fear of death. Oh, let all with aching hearts hear this good news. Jesus not only rescues troubled marriages, He comforts and heals the sick. The blessed Redeemer unburdens troubled and flaming consciences from guilt. The beautiful Savior has openly proclaimed a very special love for the little children. Dispossessed teenagers, abandoned through the sin of divorcing parents, always have one friend who will stand with them. Teenagers, today Jesus is your friend. He will strengthen your weaknesses. He sees you as somebody, even if everybody else sees you as nobody. Let Christ your Savior keep you from being a candidate of suicidal despair, one of those who has given up all hope in life. And so may I today urge you, start today and don't delay. Proceed forth in life with godly boldness. Rely on the Holy Spirit to strengthen your weaknesses and to remove all your fears and anxieties. Every time the devil tempts you to give up, rely completely on the Savior's resurrection power and the example of the Christ-centered courage of St. Paul, as Paul remained confident even on a sinking ship. Now again, let us turn briefly to the dramatic rescue of the world's greatest missionary. St. Paul had been arrested for preaching the gospel. He was being sent to Rome for trial before the imperial court. His military escort decided to sail for Rome, even though sailing at that time of the year was very, very dangerous. A great Jewish feast, the Day of Atonement, had arrived. And after this feast, during this season of the year, about October, most people realized that all navigation on the seas normally stopped because fall and winter storms made it very, very dangerous. Now, Paul warned those who were taking him to Rome of the great peril. Nevertheless, his military escort insisted they continue. The situation is vividly described in Acts chapter 27, and I quote, "Before long, a terrific gale, which they call a northeaster, swept down upon us from the land. The ship was caught by it, and since the ship could not be brought up into the wind, we had to let her fall off and run before it. Then, running under the lee of a small island called Clauda, we managed with some difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it aboard, they used cables to brace the ship. To add to the difficulties, they were afraid all the time of drifting onto one of the banks, and so they shortened sail and lay to drifting. The next day, it is reported, as we were still at the mercy of the violent storm, they began to throw cargo overboard. On the third day, with their own hands, they threw the ship's tackle over the side. And then, when for many days there was no glimpse of sun or stars, it was reported, we were still in the grip of the gale, and all hope of our being saved was given up." Now, the Bible states that St. Paul, one of the prisoners, stepped forward with courage. And with Christ-centered confidence, he told the crew and the passengers how an angel had appeared to him the night before. The angel told Paul that he would be saved. And as an act of God's mercy, so would all the other passengers and the crew. Then Paul addressed the crew and he said, "Take courage, for I believe God, and I am certain that everything will happen exactly as I have been told." Paul was indeed correct. God kept his promise, and even though the ship was wrecked, Paul and 275 other members of the crew and all of the passengers aboard were saved. Now, God kept his promise with St. Paul, and even if you falter, he will still keep his promise of help and strength to you. So take courage. Life around you may break up like a ship run aground. Your best friends may disown you. Even your family members may condemn you. But God will always stand with you. On some occasion, God permits even the worst, however, to come to us. Our marriage may fail. Our harmonious homes may end up being wrecked rather than salvaged. Or our lives may be terminated rapidly through cancer. Yet, even in these situations, our hope is sure. Our future in Christ is secure. God provides strength to recover from a broken marriage. His healing takes time, but our gracious God provides new strength and restores great joy. The news of terminal cancer may come as a terrible shock, yet behind this black cloud there is indeed a bright, piercing light, the glorious light of God's Son. Death brings fear. Uncertainty and the unknown future is always fear-filled. But Jesus Christ, the one who defeated death on Easter morning, can bring great joy to even the most discouraged cancer patient. For just as Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, so also, the Bible says, so also shall all those who trust in the Savior be raised with him by the glory of the Father. Live every day, then, with the comfort and the confidence offered you in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 4. We have one who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Let us, therefore, the Bible states, draw near with confidence to God's throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in the time of our need. Draw near with confidence to God's throne of grace and do it by prayer. Talk with God. Don't hide anything. Confess your failures and then be open to the cleansing and the healing of His Spirit. O Lord, look with mercy upon all who are troubled at this hour. Send Thy Spirit into their hearts. Cleanse them from sin, heal their weaknesses, and empower them for a new life of victory over temptation and a new life of joy in the midst of turmoil. O Lord, direct our eyes always to the cross of Calvary. In that terrible tragedy, O Lord, help us to see our part, yes, our responsibility. Pull us away then from the love of the things of this world, and daily set our feet so to follow willingly the path of our beautiful Savior and our blessed Redeemer. Oh, gracious God, even as he was going down on a sinking ship, St. Paul upheld others in their despair by saying, "Keep up your courage." So now, Heavenly Father, we pray this beautiful message of hope would be ours also. Heavenly Father, grant this to all who are listening at this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.